This meeting is being recorded.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good evening, everyone. And together, and as you said before, we'll conclude the chapter 3, and by doing this, concluding the second epistle of St. Peter, and then starting something else as we start the Lent next week, God willing. As we've been talking, the three chapters of Second Peter, again, started with all the encouragement, all the facts, what we have, and his divine power that gives us everything pertains to godliness. Remember this, because that's what we kind of ended up with last study also, that he's given us all those things. And then going into speaking or telling the people how to be careful and how to be really aware that there is false teaching, there is false prophets, there are people who will try to take the faith away from the straight faith. And as we said, also, this is not only from the outside, but it could be from the inside. It could be our own thinking, our own way of looking at things. And then chapter 3 going straight to the point of the reality of the judgment, the reality of the judgment day, the reality that there is a judgment day, this will happen. But talking about kind of like the fact of the dissolving of the elements, as we talked about it last time, and how that can interfere with too many theories and too many beliefs and too many things that that deny that, right? And we talked about the 1,000 and the one day, and what does that mean? And we looked into some of the fathers' interpretation of this, which is Saint Athanasius, for example, who said the 1,000 from the time of Solomon till the time coming is 1,000 years. So as if this is all one period, and then the day of the Lord, right, which is the coming, and how we shouldn't be so much worried about when and how, but more about the fact that he is coming, that this is the reality, right? And then we ended this by the what Saint Peter is telling the people, which is if this is real thing, if the second coming is happening, then as it says that towards the end of this chapter, we ought to live in a certain life, right? And he was telling them about not only waiting, but also what, if you remember, not just waiting for the day, but hastening, right? Waiting eagerly, right? Waiting eagerly for that day. And as we were reading in verse 10, from 10 till the end of the chapter, let's read it one more time, and then we kind of, you know, highlight several things, and then just gonna go through the whole conclusion one more time. So again, Second Peter chapter 3, which is the last chapter from verse 10, and then I'll just read the full passage, and then we'll go back again. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar. And remember, we talked about roar as more of a what? The sound of a arrow, whistle. Swift and surprising, and yes, dear. Yes, to that particular. No, because remember when we talked about roar, when we talked about your enemy is like a lion roaring, we talked about that particular meaning as if what it is the sound of the lion, not the action of the lion, right? So that was specific for the lion. Here, although in the English it's the same, but it's not the same origin, not the same root of the word itself. Just the more of that swift coming, right? The as it exactly used for like the whistle of an arrow that is flying. And the heavenly bodies or the elements we talked about, this will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? And that's why I kind of linked this, we link this holiness and godliness to the first chapter, where he talks about that we are given everything, the divine power that would give us, allow us to live that godliness life, right? So he's not just, again, you know, giving them no option, but he mentioned it from the beginning, from chapter one, that, you know, it is his divine power that will give us all the tools to live that godliness and virtuous life. And then he's kind of looking at it again here, that what manner should we be living, right? What people ought to be in life of holiness and God, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. And again, we said we shouldn't really kind of get to the details of what does that exactly mean. Is it really going to be real? It says new heaven and a new earth. So as I was saying, lots of the fathers kind of have like that mindset of, you know, there is, it's not the destruction, but the renewal of the creation itself, right? And if you remember Saint Paul in Romans, when he talks about that, the whole creation is waiting, right, for that. So there is a waiting for the whole creation to be renewed one more time, right? And again, shouldn't really, you know, stop at what does that mean? You know, is it going to be here, there, somewhere in the middle? You know, what does that look like? No, that's not the point. The point, again, that he is coming and we are waiting for him, and we ought to live that life in order to be waiting and enjoying that life with him. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and new earth in which the righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish, and as peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. Pay attention again to the text, because it's very, very interesting. Right? Here he's putting the letters of St. Paul equal to the what? The scripture, because it is the scripture, right? Scriptures, again, is always and only mentioned about the Old Testament, right? Like, but here, again, and we'll talk about this in more details in just a few minutes here. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. See how he's kind of including the letter, right? So again, start with reminding them who we are, what we have, all the goodness that we have, all the divine power that we have, right? And then say, but be careful, because there are some people who teach different teaching, and then not only that, but go and focus on the reality of the second. What does he give towards the end of the letter? Be careful, basically, right? Because this is the whole thing. Again, it's not just given examples, not just given, you know, starting a way to talk to them, not just kind of like, you know what, he's bored and they are bored, so let's just, you know, discuss something for just the sake of discussion. No, right? He's, and you see this very, very clear towards the last few verses of the text. Let's just jump to this and we'll go back again backward. But I just want to, you know, in verse from 14 to 18, what are the main things that he's talking about? He's actually giving them instruction for doing, you can probably divide them into main 3 points. What are those things based on what he's talked about in the whole first and the second epistles? Three main actions that he's asking them to do. What are they? One is to be steadfast. What is that? Be diligent to be found by him. And we'll talk about this. 17. You, therefore, beloved, knowing that this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away. We talked about this also, but not to be carried away, but stand, you know, do not lose your own stability. Or here it says, you know, go to 17. I'll be there again. Steadfastness. Okay, what else? So this is one thing. What else? Look to heaven. Okay? Since you are waiting for these things. So we are, these things are not just, you know, again, just a belief, but you are waiting for these things. What are those things that he's talking about? Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, what is this? Verse 13, the new heaven and the new earth, basically, right? So again, the fact that the new heaven and the new earth is a fact, and it's something that we should be always doing what? Looking, right? Thinking, contemplating, waiting. Again, wait in as he said also, again, waiting and eagerly waiting also, as we talked last time, right? So steadfast, looking and waiting for those, for these things, which are the new heaven and new earth. And what else?
Be diligent.
Be diligent. Okay. What else? In the grace and growing. Growing, which is something that's very, very important, right? Towards the end, but grow in the grace and knowledge. Grow. And we'll talk about this also. There's a lot to say about growing. How can we grow? Why do we grow? Where we should grow? Why we should grow? What are the signs of growing, right? There's a lot to say about growing. And it's very, very interesting that he's actually ending the epistle with that action, with that order, grow, grow. Because you can do all those things. You can think about the new heaven. You can wait. You can be diligent. You can be careful. You can stand. You can do all those things. But again, whether we are growing or not, this is something that's very, very, very important. Right? We'll get to this also in a few minutes here.
Yeah, in the last verse, Abuna, he usually Saint Peter in particular links the grace with the knowledge.
Yes.
Both of them, the grace only is not sufficient, but we have to grow in the knowledge.
Right. Always, and as we said, he mentioned, I think we counted about 18 times in the three chapters the word knowledge, the knowledge, right? And we talked about the full knowledge, not just the knowledge, if you remember this, right? And knowledge is not just the knowledge, the intellectual, right? Not just like, okay, I know the faith. I've recited the creed. I've known, you know, the rituals. No. It's the full knowledge, right? The intimate knowledge, as we said before, it's the same verb that is even used in the intimate relationship, sexual relationship to husband and wife, that, you know, Adam knew Eve and then they begot, so and so. The word, the same word, or the same verb to know, yada in Hebrew, which is the same word that he's actually here talking about. You have to know God this way, right? Which actually is very interesting, because that knowledge has to lead to a fruit, right? If you look at it, you know, if a relationship between a husband and wife will lead to a newborn, the relationship between us and God has to lead to a fruit, right? A new life, a new everything. And then he ends it, we'll get also back to this, but maybe just throw it out there now, you know, the way he ended this, you know, after, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, and then he turned or switched that into what? a doxa, as we say, to a glorification, a prayer, right? To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. And you see this again, the same thing that you were talking about before, both now and forever, right? That's what we always say in the liturgy, right? Now and forever to the age as well. So now he's bringing everything back again to the conclusion of that. But that is so much dependent on what? On the growth of the knowledge and the grace. As if the growth has to lead to what? To glorification. Right? And that's a very important fact, because again, a lot of times, like, how do I know if I'm growing or not? Right? People ask this question all the time, like, Abuna, I really don't know. Like, you know what, I'm doing the things that I've been doing for the last whatever years, and you know, I'm you know, looking at everything and being watchful, but I don't know if I'm really growing or not. I was just talking to somebody in Egypt, you know, an old friend, and he just kind of like, okay, you know, kidnapped me to a coffee shop, and we start to talk and talk and talk. Like, I don't know if I'm growing or not. And that came right away, you know, because Saint Peter here is very, very clear on that. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Here is not just putting this at the end because it's just like, you know, the seal of the end of the letter. No, because the growth or growing in the knowledge and in the grace will lead towards the glorification of the Lord. And not the glorification then, but now and to that day of eternity. Amen. In a practical way, let's just, you know, we'll start from here and go backward to the full passage again that we read. Still, what does it mean to the glory of the Lord? What does that mean? You know, we say it a lot, and actually, as I was saying at one point, you know, this is more said in the linguistic or the language or the description or the language of the Western theology more and more. You know, for the glory of the Lord, okay, what does that mean, right? What does that mean? What do you think, Abir?
I must decrease that he may increase. So that is the glorification. That's not about me, but about him. Okay, very good. Yes. What else?
The Lord himself said something about this. That they should see your, and then to glorify. So meaning here the glorification here is connected and maybe conditioned by what? By our works, right? And I think that's the simple explanation of this, honestly. The simple explanation, right? You know, maybe you're not able to go and talk to people about, you know, openly about the Lord, right? Maybe not everyone has the gift and the talent of preaching or evangelizing or but just being ourselves, right? Are we bringing his image or not, right? And that is the glorification. That's as simple as that, right? Like, why are you so joyful all the time? Like, you know, you look always like you're calm and you're loving and you're not stressed out, or like, don't you see what's happening in the whole world? And people start to ask those questions and people start to notice this, right? You have a genuine smile, a genuine care, right? And without even knowing why is this, and they don't even know probably sometimes, right? But then usually, you know, this is the opportunity. Again, if somebody said, like, you know what, how come you're so joyful like this? Well, glory be to God. Whether they believe in that or not, but it's an opportunity for me to do what? To say it and to glorify God. Right?
Jesus linked the glorification with the work. He said, in June 17, I glorified you, Father. The work you gave me to do, I did it.
Yes,
I done it.
Yes, definitely. That's a great point, Dr. Sami. Then the glorification here is actually connected to the obedience, right? Because when the Lord talked about that, that, you know, glorifies, it's the time to to be glorified, because it's the time that he obeyed, right? So when we obey what the Lord has given us, right, and we take it and accept it, whether it's a different, you know, life changes or just obeying his commandment or obeying, you know, what he has given us, that is, in a way by itself, is a glorification, right? What else? Brian, what else about the doxa, the glorification? Go ahead.
Right. Nope.
One moment, Brian. We'll take Karina here and get back to you. Yes. Through good works, yes. Yes.
So he starts it, but if we don't come together in that, then the fruit cannot grow.
Yes.
So
yes.
Just because we think we might be doing good works, the glory still goes to God.
To him, not to us. Right. Definitely. That's a great point. Yes. Because we can be doing those things and we can claim it to or try to claim the glory for ourselves. But no, right? That goes back to him. And if it does, if it's all centered on me, it will never have any impact on the people. Right. No one. Yes. That's yes, yes. Yes.
Like if we live our lives looking towards our sanctification and the whole process,
right.
Then all the glory, good, bad, everything that happens in our lives,
God will, yes, yes, yes. When we cry, yes, right, yes. As long as we're connected, right? Yes, yes, yes. Right. Thank you. Yes, Brian.
Right. So we go back to the Greek doxa.
Yes.
And some synonyms to that. Honor, renown, glory, a divine quality, the unspoken manifestation of God, splendor. So maybe in this context, if it's called to some kind of action by us, probably, you know, relates to honor, renown, so forth.
Yes, yes. And it's all connected together, as Karina is saying also. It's all connected together. And again, the connection is much more and more and more clear when this is all is connected to the purpose and the goal of the life, which is being with him in the new heaven and new earth, right? Because again, if that's not there, then, you know, even if we say for the glory of the Lord, it will still be not quite genuine, right? The glory of him, meaning that he is the king, right? We always say that, right? Like if somebody is saying, let, you know, the king live forever, right? Or the queen lives forever when she was around, right? You know, that always relates, that glorification is related to the person of the monarch, right? The king or the queen, right? So saying this and focusing on that, that means that he is reigning, right? That he is the king. And again, as we said before, if he is the king, then there should be also what? A kingdom. There is no king without a kingdom, right? And that kingdom is not here, right? And again, that was the struggle that we were talking about last time, which is how often do we really understand and think and contemplate that there is a kingdom and we are part of this kingdom, right? But again, if you look at our daily activities from the moment we wake up to the moment we go back to sleep, you know, how often do we really think about that kingdom, right? Or we're just so much worried about what we do now and our tasks and the things that we have to do, which again, we have to take care of those because we're still living here, right? But are those things really taking us away from his kingdom or not, right? And that's why, again, he's saying there is, you know, growing meaning there's always a dynamic, right? An action. If you look at a baby that is growing as a human being, a baby is growing in everything, you know, right? In body, in intellect, in skills, in communication, in walking, right? Talking, everything, right? So there is a momentum that's happening, right? And it relates so much to what we talked about here about, you know, the church of the living God. Remember that we talked about this, the living God, meaning that the living God is growing, right? And we are all growing together. We'll talk about it here in a few minutes also. Go ahead, Dr. Samir.
Also praising God, glorifying, give him the, we remember the glorification of Saint Mary when Elizabeth, yes. she went to Elizabeth, and also in Psalm 50 and last verse says, in plain words, whoever offer praise glorifies me.
Yes.
So praising, thanking God all time, glorifying God.
And that's definitely a good way to I don't want to say to measure, but as a reflection of our are we growing or not, right? How much we are switching and changing our prayers from asking to glorifying, right? You know, most of the time our prayers are more from the asking side, right? You know, Here's my list, right? And maybe you just kind of like, you know, get a couple words of praise and glorification there somehow, somewhere, and that's it, right? But then the reflection of that is again that the prayer becomes more and more of a praising, right? And that's why, again, that's one of the reasons the church, you know, really pushes and encourages people to pray with the Psalms, because the Psalms, as much as it has supplications and asking, it so much has also praising, you know. My soul magnifies you. Yes. The Thanksgiving, yes, it's Thanksgiving. So the Thanksgiving is, we thank you for this and this and this and this, right? Yeah. When we say the holy, holy, right? This is a glorification, right? Yeah. When we are in the liturgy and praising and singing, you know, the cherubim and the seraphim, praising and singing, this is the utmost praising song of the cherubim and the seraphim, right? So we shouldn't be just saying it like that without actually paying attention and focusing. Actually, what I'm saying is what actually the cherubim and the seraphim are saying around the throne, right? And it's what's written in the scripture, right? It's not just like somebody put it together, right? It's what the vision of Isaiah, of Jeremiah, of Ezekiel, right? Of the revelation. Yeah. So you see how, again, he's ending that epistle with something that's very, very, very practical and very important and very tangible also, you know, but grow in grace. So again, he's talking about being diligent, being steadfast, right? Being watchful, lest you, we talked about this kind of like hinted on it last time, carried away with the error of laws, being carried away, right? Being just kind of like, you know, overwhelmed and being, you know, taken into a different direction without being aware of that. One of the things of how to grow, so again, you know, as I was thinking about that, you know, I had 10 hours flying back and thinking about that, you know, between waking up and sleeping and waking up and, you know, so again, The things that really kind of get me is, you know, number one, why to grow, number two, how to grow, and number three, where to grow. And let's start with the where to grow, because I think this is something very, very important. And you tell me why. Where to grow? Can I grow on my own? What do I need to grow? What do I need to grow as a what? As a community, as a church. Right? As a family. Right? I was reading another thing I was reading also is the what impacts the baby, right? Even still in the womb of his mother or her mother, which is the surroundings, right? You know, because at that time, you know, there is a physical body that's being formed and being growing, but also that body will have the what? A soul, and a spirit. And that is impacted by the surrounding, right? And that's why we always hear this, like, okay, the mother should maybe listen to music when she's pregnant, right? Or come to the church and listen to the doxologies and to the praises and to the prayers as she is pregnant, so everything can settle to the baby, right? Be aware not to be in an area that has, you know, turmoil and all those things, because that somehow will impact the baby, right? In the same way, we can look into this from a spiritual way, you see that is something very important also, right? And that's why we say, where should I grow? I cannot grow away from the church, right? Remember the quote that we've been talking about from day one, Irenaeus? Flee to the church, right? And be nourished by its scriptures. That is the growing, right? And that's another thing also, since we're talking about the church this year, is really coming to the church, literally coming to the church, as a physical place. Am I coming with that mindset that I'm coming to grow or not? Or I'm coming because it's a Sunday, or I'm coming because they have service, or I'm coming because I need to meet the people, or to feel so I don't feel guilty about staying home while I should be at the church praying. I was reading something, it says, we grow best in a loving family, right? Even from the social, you know, aspect. We grow best in a loving family. And this is where the local church comes in, if we talk about, you know, us. A baby needs a family for protection, provision, and affection. And that's what I was talking about. Studies show that babies who are raised alone without special love tend to develop physical and emotional problems very early, right? So if we put all those things into the actual growth of our spiritual life and our physical life also together, and our social life together, and emotional life together, because we always see, you know, especially again, talking about orthodoxy, we always say that we talk about a holistic view, right? Not only my body is somewhere in my spirit, I'm just pretending that, no, we have to grow as a whole, right? How is that like? You know, maybe that's a good time to reflect on this, really, like our own experience with the church as a place that we should grow together. What are the things that practically we see, and what are the things that practically actually preventing us from growing? What do you think? Anybody expecting this question?
So you're asking for like our experience, things that we see when we go to church?
Yes, that pertains again whether we grow or we stop our growing.
Oh, no, I mean, I think we grow. I mean, I think we're certainly given the opportunity, we're given the doors to open to grow. You know, this is one right here. This, you know, this Bible study is one door right here. Yes. You know, if we're open to that, then we're going to, you know, we can grow more in our faith and our strength and our faith, our knowledge of faith. Right.
Yes, definitely. That's something that is really needed, right? Again, that we need each other in that culture in order to really grow. Okay. What else?
I think Abuna, he mentioned that there is two branches for the growth, which is the knowledge and the grace. The grace means that we have all the ways to have a relation with the Lord, whether reading Bible or repentance or praising or attending liturgies. This is grace. This is the ways of salvation.
Salvation.
And the knowledge depends upon our how we put effort to collect knowledge in every aspect regarding have relation to the Lord, whether his life history and all the knowledge which is related to the gospel.
Yes. Knowledge, again, not just the intellectual, but the knowledge on a personal level. Again, being experienced, getting that experience, right? And that's also another thing, which is, you know, another point, but let's you know, stay on this point again, if anybody wants to add anything else with that. David.
I think the fact that you're in a church with others and it creates, when you have a church family, and where you may be on your own, or your own family is small, but you now have others that are now in a wider family, and it exposes you to yourself showing more dynamics and interactions and
right.
level than
right.
you would either who you're with at your own.
Right.
Your own.
It's the bigger family.
You have a wider family, different personalities
right.
and needs and things that takes you into a wider view of the needs of others.
Definitely.
Besides yourself.
Definitely. Yes. Yes. It opens our eyes to other people, other needs, other challenges, and we're not just focused on our own self, right? And knowing also that I have a role in that family, right? So that gives more responsibility and more opportunity for God to work through me in order to really be that member of the whole body growing together. Yes. When we talk about growth also, we always have to look at, again, back again to like the growth of a human being, that has to be balanced growth, right? Say diet, for example. The diet has to be balanced, right? In order to have a healthy process of growing, right? And that's why, even if you look at this from our relationship with God in that knowledge and that grace, as Dr. Samir is saying, that needs to be balanced. Meaning what? You know, sometimes you say, okay, well, I, you know, we're all different. I totally understand that. Everybody, God has given each one his own talent and his own grace. But as our relationship, as my personal relationship with him, it needs to be balanced, right? You know, at one point, I remember, like, at one point, you know, so much involved in service, for example, right? But I don't have enough time for my own personal life. So that's not a balanced growth. You know what? Yes, I'm serving, but am I getting anything for myself? No, right? I could be praying. Am I reading as I'm praying the scripture or not, right? So that, in order to grow also in a very, very healthy way, that needs to be balanced, right? In everything. Yes, again, each one of us is different, but it needs to be, and that's where the discernment comes, that's where the guidance comes, right? Like, okay, be careful, do this and this and this and that, right? One of the things that we always talk about, for example, when I talk with people, okay, like, how's prayer? Okay, I pray at night. Okay, very good, but how about in the morning, right? Do I pray in the morning or not? Do I start my... So this is, again, you know, maybe I'm growing that part of praying at night, but that's not quite enough. Right? There is a big part of the day that is void, right? I'm praying in the morning at night. Very good. How about the rest of the day, right? Am I remembering God throughout the rest of the day or not? Or I'm so busy and then, okay, well, I say a couple of things in the morning, a couple of things at night, and that's it, right? So that needs to be balanced also. In order for what? Another thing that maybe we didn't stop at here, which is in verse 14. Let's go back to 14 again. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent. For what reason? To be found by whom? by him without spot or blemish and of peace. Kind of strange collection. I understand, you know, without spot or blemish, but why is the peace kind of like in that same statement here? So again, what is he talking about? If we are waiting for the new heaven, new earth, meaning again that we know the purpose of life, right? We're not just kind of like living our life day in and day out with so much involvement and everything, so much in, being consumed in everything we never think of. So just the remembrance and waiting eagerly, right, for these things will make us be found by him what? Blameless and without spot. What do you think of that expression, to be found by him? Not foundation, but found as he will find us, right? When? That's the point. Yes, Dave.
Created a peace around you, not just you alone, spotless, and you and God only. It's you're in peace with your ground too, which is part of the equation. So
yes,
that means being with him, continuity, not just
right.
To be in peace now, to be now, to get everything else, you know, right? A way of living, and continuity, and he will come as a thief in the night anytime.
Right. So when he comes as a thief in the night anytime, he'll find me blameless and without spot. Right. Yes. So that's a very important concept here, because now he's linking being spotless and without blame to the fact that I am what? At peace also, one thing. And in what status? And what do? Diligent and... And what? Waiting. The key here is waiting. Again, beloved, therefore, since you are waiting for this, be diligent. So the main thing here that I am waiting for this. Right? If I'm waiting for something to happen, I'll always be diligent. Right? And when I'm doing this, he will find me blameless and... See how this is going? It's very interesting. Yes. Confused. Why? I can hear you. Yes. Yes. Right. It's the same thing. It's not saying something else. Right? Because again, you know, St. Paul said it, Jude will say it, Peter is saying it here, that we will stand in front of him blameless, right? Right? So what is happening here? This is not, it's not my work still, but my work is doing what here? As Karina is just saying, that I will be what? Waiting. Right? How can I be waiting? Because again, I'll be growing in grace and knowledge, right? How is that? Waiting with that, this is the work of the Spirit as I'm waiting to prepare me, right? So he's trying to say here, just by the fact that that's exactly what St. Paul said, renewal of the mind, by the mind being renewed and being waiting for him, his coming, that is a start in becoming what? Why is that? In a very, very simple way. Okay, let's be very, very simple. If I am really struggling in my relationship with God, right? You know, I try to love him and I'm not able to. I get attached by other things. I fall into whatever sin, right? But since I'm waiting eagerly, right? What will that waiting allow me to do? What will it push me to do? To repent, right? So I'm in that old dynamic. That's the growth again, right? I'm coming to him. But I've been, you know, struggling with my own weaknesses, but I'm still waiting for that. I know that he's coming, and I'm waiting eagerly because I love him, right? So every time I'll fall, I will come back again. And that is repentance, and that is blameless. See, again, why you're confused, Dean? Because blameless means in our mind right away that I am what? Sinless. And that's not what he's talking about. Right? He's not talking about stop sinning. But he's talking about what? Continue to wait. See the difference? If I'm waiting for something glorious to happen, I'll always be ready, right? Always being ready means I'll always be watchful. I'll always be again. Even if I fall, I know I'll come up again because I'm waiting for that, right? Again, back again to the 10 virgins, right? They're waiting, right? And they're watchful. As we said before, it's not just about standing with a lamp. No, they have that stick and they have that, you know, piece of cloth on the thing on the top, and then they dip it in the oil, and they have to be watchful. Once they see that it's kind of like, you know, fading, they have to take it and change it and put another one. So that's always waiting, right? And that's why when he came, he found that they have what? Oil. So it's not just waiting with the lamp and just waiting, you know, passive, not doing anything, as the Western pictures depict it. No, that's not the point, right? That's exactly what we do. Right? And actually make it more and more, it makes more and more sense when we actually use those two specific words during the liturgy. Where do we use that? He took bread in his holy hands, which are without blemish or and spotless, right? Yes. So then the body that he took, the bread that he took in his own hands, which are without spot or blemish, right? He sanctified the body, right? He sanctified that. And these are the same hands that made you and I. So we are in his hands, which are without spot or blemish all the time, in order to be what? Sanctified and without blemish all the time. So here he's pointing out this fact as he kind of conclude on the epistle, because it's very, very important that he's trying to tell us, please don't forget the fact that there is a king and a kingdom, and we are part of this. Don't get, again, don't twist, as he talks about here, twist the scripture, twist the, as he mentioned, you know, some people didn't understand Paul and his writing, and Paul is talking about the grace and talking about the salvation, so there is nothing else need to do, you know, and just he said, like, you know, don't twist the words. Be always ready, because they've done this at that time and still being doing it till now, right? Be ready, because he is coming. In order to be ready, be diligent, right? Be watchful, lest you are carried away and grow in that. And that process is what makes us blameless. Because throughout this process, we're always under his or in his blameless and spotless hands. So he's the one who continues to purifies and sanctifies. And there is nothing else better than this way of concluding this epistle, right? Something, again, that is very relevant to our day and age, very relevant to what we do and everything. You know, one of the church fathers, just I'll conclude by this, you know, says, grow in the faith which is yours by baptism and in the knowledge which comes from putting the faith into practice. Right? And then we live one single life, right? Not just depending on where we at or what we do or anything, but no, right? And that is the guarantee that we are actually continuing to wait, eagerly, right? As he said, you know, if we are in this, then we ought to live that way, right? Not counting his patience as or his long suffering as a way to slack, but as a hope that we should be, you know, waiting for that and growing in that, right? And then again, we'll use the same quote of Irenaeus, that flee to the church and be nourished by its scripture, right? Because it's paradise planted on earth. Right? So it's a very beautiful reminder of how we should live, how we should live, right? Living again. Remember, from the beginning, he said that we were given all the divine power to live such a life, right? So it's not like here you are in the midst of the jungle without anything to help you. You're given all the divine power, right? But remember, this life will continue to be a struggle, right? It will continue to be wrong teaching, continue to be things that will try to take us away and to carry us away from that kingdom, right? But remember, that is the reality. Is there is a day of judgment? The reality that there is a day that the whole world will be renewed, and there is a new earth, a new heaven. Long for this, and care for it, and think about it every day, and wait for it eagerly, every day. And by doing this, you know, you are always being blameless. You'll be found blameless. Why? Because I am ready all the time. That's basically what he's saying, right? Not because you're righteous, but because I am waiting for him. And I am in his holy, spotless and blemish, blessed, spotless and life-giving, right? That gives me that purity and gives me that sanctification. I think it's a clear way to continue to live that life that wants us to live in a very, very simple yet strong way, right? We complicate things. We start to look at what we can and what we cannot, and we just don't have the faith that he is able and willing to come and to find us blameless and without spot, right? We complicate things and we lose our own faith. Or we lose our sight that, again, as it says towards the end of the epistle, to him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. There is no difference. And this is the beauty of our orthodoxy, that we live eternity from now, from this moment. We're not just waiting for something to happen. No, no. How is that? No, we'll read this tomorrow. Let's go to our rooms and pray and fast and humble ourselves. And allow him to come and say, Lord, you know, open our eyes to see that kingdom from now, that we live it from now. We're not just, again, I always say, imagine you're just like, you know, if we're doing all those things and we don't experience anything. It's like exactly, you know, banging my head against the wall 100 times per day, right? Becomes very, very tired, very exhausting, very hopeless, very challenging. Like, what am I doing this for? I can't. Every time I take a step, I go back 10 steps. There is no point of doing this. Like, wait a minute, you're not doing this alone. And you're not doing this so you can gain anything. You're doing this out of love. Okay? And if you try to do this, I'll open your eyes to see and to taste. Okay? I was talking to somebody back in Egypt again, talking about, you know, challenges and special, you know, the sexual context in the whole world now and everything. And the point is, like, you know what? People are not tasting the sweetness of the Lord. That's why we're going somewhere else, to try to find something else that will fill that void and that desire. But it never stops, right? It goes on and on and on. So let's get back to that simple concept of learning how to be taught by him, as you were talking last Sunday, right? That he is the one that will continue to teach us and to fill us in order to really be able to stand blameless and without spot in front of him. Any last thoughts about the whole epistle? Any other thoughts, any other questions? Yes, Albert. Yes. Yes.
Even in this particular epistle, right, he's writing to people who want to go into a lot of trials and tribulations. So, you know, he's telling them if you wait and put that, you know, the coming of the Lord in the forefront, it will help you through your tribulation.
Right. Yes, there will be a reason to go through the tribulation, right? Otherwise, it will be, doesn't make any sense. Very hard. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Any other thoughts? Okay. We therefore conclude 2 Peter, 1 Peter, after a long time. God willing, we'll start next Saturday, as we said, the thematic study of the book of Isaiah. So we'll through 6 weeks, we'll cover, we're not going to go chapter by chapter or verse by verse, but we'll just highlight the main themes of Isaiah and the division of it, you know, first part, second part, what does it talk about, main things, and then we'll do that. In order to do that, you need to read, to start reading. So it's 66 chapters. I know it's long, but it will definitely help, you know, if you read with me, right? So we have an idea of what's happening. And then again, we're not going to go verse by verse. Otherwise, we'll stay forever till the day to come. but I think just pray that we have a good study together, and it needs a lot of time for my end also to prepare. So just pray for me that God give me more time and more grace in order to come together and have a nice thematic description and study of that. Probably the first time will be just an overall view of everything, and then we'll break it down to different things that way. Any thoughts about this? Second Peter, 6 months? Yes. September 9th. And it's March 9th. Okay, very good. Thank God. Just three chapters. It tells us something, right? Tells us something. Yes. So let's do this throughout the Lent, and then we'll switch to something else, God willing, after Easter. But let's just focus on those 6 weeks for now. And meanwhile, also as we said, as of Wednesday the 20th, which is the second week of the Lent, we'll start the Lenten journey on Wednesday, 4:30 to 7 p.m. liturgy, 7 to 7:30 meal together, and 7:30 to 8:30 we'll study Way of the Ascetics. Tomorrow, God willing, the book is long, so tomorrow I'll announce, you know, how many chapters. We're not gonna go through the whole thing, but we'll choose certain chapters that we can read and come prepare. So we have a lot of homework to do throughout the Lent, which is good. So we're all engaged together. Remember, that's how we grow together, right? We need the place to grow together. Okay, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord hear us and see our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive those who trespass. Lead us to temptation, but deliver us. May the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, the King of the Holy Spirit with you, go in peace. Peace be with you all. Have a good night and see you tomorrow. God willing.
Thanks, Abuna.
Thank you all.